Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. It's March 5th. We're back with you. You keep looking better every day. I don't know what that is. Aww. I mean, I didn't think you could outdo yourself from yesterday from the shoot. But, photographer thought you looked gorgeous. So, aww. And then, you know, we were taking pictures, like, on the sidewalk, and it was a busy street, and everybody's driving by. And it feels, like, really weird, because you're, like, posing there, and the whole world can see you, you know?
I like it.
Yeah, I'm sure. You like the attention, right?
I like the camera.
Yeah, I guess people are used to that in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, right. It's LA.
Yeah, filming and shooting everywhere, you know? So that was fun. But I'm not used to it, you know, so it was kind of funny. But I can't forget, like, when you were when you started taking the pictures and this guy came out with his laundry. And so this guy, it's like we were taking pictures at the apartment building, like outside where the photographer lives. And so this guy comes downstairs to do his laundry, and he emerges out, and what he sees is Charlotte. And his eyes open. It's like, wow, you know. I hit the jackpot today. Then he sees that she's taking pictures. I mean, can you imagine, like, emerging out of your house or something and see this beautiful woman standing right there for no reason? And you go, wow, you know, it must be my lucky day.
Thank you, Sam.
So that was funny. No, I mean, you got to call them as you see them, you know. And so that was fun, and we thank Alina for taking the pictures. We're going to put them on Facebook hopefully today or tomorrow, integrate them into the website, and we'll actually look like we're together on the show, you know. I'm very concerned about, like, you know, a polished reputation and everything clean and straightforward, you know.
Yeah.
And professional, you know. So that's how this station has become as successful as it has, because I pay attention to detail like that, you know.
Definitely.
So that's the situation there. In a few minutes, we're going to bring in a guest and who sounds very interesting. At least she seems a lot of fun. So if nothing else, even if she doesn't have anything interesting to say, she'll be fun.
She has a lot of interesting things.
I'm sure. And it's funny because you guys, it turned out that you knew each other.
Yeah, we know each other. We've known each other since, like, August. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to acknowledge her so she doesn't feel we're ignoring her and everything. But so there's a couple things I wanted to bring up. I totally forgot what I wanted to talk about. But there are a couple things here from that I see on the news that I wanted to bring up. Well, obviously, you know, the busy cities. What do you think the busiest city for traffic is? The most gridlocks. Yeah, it's not a trick question, by the way.
New York?
No, LA, actually.
Oh, it is? It's between New York and LA.
What you would think, you know. In fact, you know, LA is like, you know, they're saying we spend an average of 64 hours in traffic every year. Can you imagine 64 hours? You know, and so actually New York is only number 5, believe it or not. And number 2 is very interesting. Honolulu, Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah, very congested, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah.
I would never have thought of Hawaii.
I know. Nobody would have, right?
Yeah, no.
And that's the way it is in many places around the world, like tourist destinations or whatever. And you think, wow, this is paradise. You know, I could just live here. But I guess millions of people are thinking the same thing and actually right. move there. And then you get stuck in rush hour traffic every day, you know.
Seriously.
Yeah. So if you go to Hawaii, I suggest other islands.
Right.
Other cities.
I went to Kauai.
Uh-huh.
I want to go to Maui.
Yeah.
I heard it's beautiful.
Kauai is actually more beautiful than Maui. But so if you you've been to Kauai. But
oh, really?
Maui is nice, too. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, I would go in a minute. But I found Kauai to be, like, the nicest, you know. And that's where they film, like, you know, Lost and Jurassic Park and stuff. You know, all the beautiful scenery. So that was good. How long ago were you there?
Ugh, when I was like 10.
Oh, really?
So I feel like it doesn't even count.
Okay, no, it doesn't count. You have to be an adult to experience Hawaii,
yeah,
you know?
It's like I did all these cool things when I was 10 because I lived here for a year. Went to like Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls. I went to Vegas. So I didn't count.
I didn't realize you lived here for a year.
Yeah.
Really?
In Long Island.
Oh, in Long Island. Okay, not in L.A. or anything.
No, in Long Island. But then we traveled a
lot. I see. Okay, so you went all the way to Hawaii from New York.
Yeah, because while we're over here, we thought, well, we might as well do a lot of traveling.
Exactly.
And we did do a lot of traveling, but I don't remember anything because I was so young. So
yeah, I know.
It sucks. I have to do everything again.
Yeah, I know. But Hawaii is, I mean, there's two types of trips you can have. If you go to Waikiki, where all the tourists are, then it's kind of like a resort town type of a thing. But if you go to Maui, or Kauai, it's more like romantic, it's more like secluded and stuff, you know, not like a bunch of tourists and stuff, you know. So it depends what kind of vacation. If you're just looking to kick back and relax in nature or whatever, then Waikiki is not the first place I would go to, Honolulu. So
all I remember is the pineapple was really good.
Yeah, it is good. And the and the nuts, what are they called? The nuts, come on. Macadamia nuts.
Oh. Yeah.
Those are great. Those are great. They're from Hawaii. And have you ever had them?
I think macadamia nuts.
They're really expensive, but they're good, man. Let me tell you. It's some.
Are they round?
Yeah. They're like balls. Yeah. Like little balls. And like little marbles. Yeah. And yeah, they're amazing. So yeah, Hawaii is definitely on my itinerary soon, or I would like to make it. You know, I would like to make it there. And I've been there several times, but it's really cool there. So, yeah. So, okay, so Honolulu, San Francisco is number three. Number four is Austin, which is like a small town, you know. I mean, but it gets pretty crowded, I guess.
But isn't Austin the number one place for out-of-college graduates to get a job?
I don't know. I know it's a college town. I've been there once, and it's really cool. But it's so small. You know, maybe there's just a lot of people in a small town, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not moving there. San Jose and Seattle. So, yeah, anyway, but we get the idea here, I think. So, we're definitely, we're definitely in the most gridlock city in the world. Not that it's any news. And we'll continue living this way until until we get some public transportation here, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What 64 hours is a long time.
It is, huh?
To spend in traffic.
Yeah.
It's a really long time.
I know. But sometimes you think about it, it's probably not, you know, it's probably not as high as it should be. I mean, sometimes you just, you realize every day you sit there for an hour or something, you know.
It's true. If you're driving from
2 hours.
Like Century City up to Encino every day.
Yeah.
In rush hour, that's at least an hour, hour and a half.
That's true. Yeah, with no freeway or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Did you ever make that drive in the morning?
Yeah, I have.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
awful.
God.
I'd rather wake up earlier and go earlier.
And go, that's
than
right.
Than sit in rush hour traffic.
Yeah. But the problem is at 7:30 already it gets busy on the freeways,
right?
You know? Yeah, it really does, you know? So you have to leave like at 6:37 to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get there too early, you know?
Yeah, it's true. You can't win.
Yeah. So in a couple of minutes, we'll get to our guest. I wanted to bring this up because it was kind of, it grabbed my eyes, this headline, 15 Everyday Habits to Boost Your Libido. And for those of you who don't know, that means sex drive. so now 15 ways or like habits to boost it. Now, I don't get it. You know, I don't need even one, you know. I mean, my libido is raging all the time. I don't need any habits, like daily habits, to change that, you know. So I don't understand. But some people, I guess, have a lot of difficulties, you know. So, you know, I mean, some people have, like, performance difficulties and things like that because of medication and whatever, you know. There's, like, a lot of side effects and stuff. But yeah, thank goodness God blessed me with a big libido, and it hasn't abated since I was 15 years old.
What are the
Some of the habits and stuff. I didn't get that deep into it, but let's see. I don't know. Oh, I guess like, look, even this, like, well, they're saying check out your meds, divide household chores equally. I mean, what does that have to do with it? Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. You know? Set your room up for romance. Add sex to your to-do list. Use lubricant. I mean, come on. Because you're not horny. Okay. But de-stress before sex. Okay, I'll go with that one. You know, when I'm anxious, mm-hmm. forget about it.
Yeah.
Eat clean. And our guest is going to talk to us about that. Eat aphrodisiacs. Now, aphrodisiacs. So I don't know what those are. I guess they're saying avocados, almonds, oysters. Strawberries, oysters. So, yeah, I guess that. I don't know. I don't eat oysters, so I wouldn't know. But then again, go for a hike together. Okay, so they're talking about people that are together, right? Like, that's why they're saying, like, you know, like divide the household chores equally.
What does
stuff.
That have to do with it?
I think it has to do with the fact that after a long day, you may head home for another full-time job being a parent. So I guess you just want to divide the chores so one of you is not that tired.
Hmm.
So, but that, so obviously they're talking about like married couples or something, which I can understand the libido going down.
Yeah,
it does. It does. Unfortunately, you know, the honeymoon period is over, and yeah, it's just amazing when I read studies about how many people are not having sex, and especially like married people in relationships. And it's sad, you know. I mean, it really is, because I think once the sex goes from a relationship, you know, it's over. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Well, that's when the man starts wandering. I think.
Really? Wandering with an O or an A? Yeah, when the man stops wondering what?
Wandering.
Yeah, wandering, like going away with an A. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's true. That's when it starts happening. But women do too, you know? I mean, a lot of women cheat too, and we have to remember that. I mean, it's totally possible that the man loses interest and the wife is still horny and stuff, mm-hmm. you know?
That's
so
true.
That happens. But besides, they're saying most women that cheat, or let's say many women that cheat, look for more intimacy than just the sex, you know? Because that's what women do, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're more into the romance and the love and stuff, and men are more into the visual and the graphic and stuff. Yeah,
and I think that's why there becomes problems.
Like,
and it's just routine,
right? But I think it's worse, you know, when someone cheats on you with their heart. I think it's harder than if they just have sex, you know.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
You know, if you feel your wife like really has feelings for another guy or in love with another guy, man, that would be devastating, you
mm-hmm.
know. And while some women are saying, you know, oh, he just had sex with her, no big deal, you know, and they keep the husband. Although I don't understand that, you know.
Yeah.
I think once the trust has been broken, that's it. You know, I'm not willing to take anybody back.
Mm-hmm.
So I've developed a habit of not cheating and expecting other people not to cheat. I was cheated on openly when I was like 15, 16 years old, you know. So it left a mark on me, you know, some scars and stuff. Anyway,
yeah,
we're going over time. Our guest is falling asleep here. I'm going to bring her in right now because she's so cute and she's so nice. And we have Melissa Friedman in the studio. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great. You're the second Friedman in a row we've had. We had David Friedman yesterday. And so Charlotte is just being bombarded with all these Jews every day. And, you know, I mean, they're like everywhere. You know, you move to L.A., that's where the Jews are, you know. So you stuck with me and our Jewish guests.
It's not a bad place to be, Charlotte.
No, it's not at all. It's not at all. If it rubs off, it's a good thing, you know. We're not bad people. We don't have horns and all that like they used to picture us, you know.
I agree.
So, Melissa, thank you for joining us. Are you an L.A. native?
No, I'm originally from Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you speak French?
No.
No French in Montreal?
There is a lot of French in Montreal. Actually, they're saying that the French are trying to take over Montreal.
Yeah,
right now.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So I mean, how old were you when you left there?
I was 22 when I left.
Are you serious? Oh, I thought you were going to say you were a kid and you didn't have a chance to learn French. So in Montreal, because I always think Montreal French, okay? Now, so you're telling me that you can live in Montreal and never learn French, right?
Not now, but
not now?
If your parents were educated in English,
right.
There's a bylaw that allows you to be educated in English. So I had that opportunity.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you can speak it at home and stuff. Do you feel that you missed out on something not speaking French?
I know the basics,
right.
So I got the opportunity
because it's
to
around
travel.
You all the time.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I know the basics. I got the opportunity to travel and speak French, but it wasn't really at home, so
right.
I knew I had to branch out, and that's why I chose LA.
I see. Okay. So, so cool. So you lived there most of your life, obviously. What did you do there? Did you go to college?
Yes, I did. I studied in marketing.
Oh, wow. That's what I studied in. Did you manage to graduate, too?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. Because you didn't say I graduated. You said I studied. So, did you like it? Is that what you want to do?
I've always had a passion for, like, health and wellness.
Uh-huh.
So, I really decided that, you know, marketing's fun and it's great to know marketing and know the basics, but
right.
you have to pursue your passion.
Absolutely. And marketing will help you in anything that you do. So it's I feel it's a good thing to learn.
Yeah, definitely. Know? It's a good background to have.
Yeah.
Because even when you want to market your business, now you have a broad knowledge of how
right.
to do that.
No, absolutely. You know, and it helps you in anything that you do, you know. So that's pretty cool. Wow, I have your Twitter page on. You've amassed over 3,000 followers. That's pretty cool, you know. So how did you do that? How did you manage to, we'll get to that in a minute because we're going to talk about what you do.
Phil Palin, shout out. That's, we took hosting classes together. And
oh, you did?
There's a social media expert that came in when we were taking them together. He's called Phil Palin. He's the absolute, he's a mastermind.
Really?
Mastermind of social media. He's incredible.
Really?
Incredible.
Okay. So maybe you'll share the secrets of how to get followers on Twitter.
Charlotte's really good at that too.
That's good. So you learned from the good guys. So you started marketing. What was your childhood like? Did you have a pretty good childhood?
I had an amazing childhood.
Really? Yeah, you seem to come from a good family, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, some people come from really broken families and stuff, and it's sad to hear, you know? So, but Jewish families usually are close and stuff, you know? Because we have to keep the heritage going. You know? No, but seriously, there's so much assimilation now that that, you know, the heritage is in risk of disappearing and fading, you know. That's why I'm happy there's Israel. I'm happy that I live here, but I'm happy that there's Israel to sort of like keep a home for the Jews, you know. Mm-hmm. So just to keep the rest of the world from trying to destroy them again, you know.
Mm.
So, but back to nice topics. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do. I have an older sister.
Older sister? Is she much older?
She's 3 years older.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you guys managed to grow up together and stuff.
Oh, definitely. We had the same friends pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
nice.
Cool.
She's in LA with you? Yeah.
Oh, so you moved together or did she move later or did you move later? How did
so I moved here first.
Okay.
And because I came from Canada, I had my green card, and I got my mother and sister on my resident status.
Oh, nice.
So they followed not long after.
I see. Now, so what made you want to move to out of Montreal? I mean, did you finish college, and then you were faced with, like, what am I going to do now type of a thing, or how did it work?
I had the travel bug, and I had already visited LA, and I knew that I was one of those crazy people that love the weather and love the people, ironically.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I ended up here.
Right. Now, are you like the creative type? Do you like, you don't like sitting in an office from 9 to 5, right?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Yeah. But you see, but that's the thing. I mean, she's creative, but she still took something practical in school, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the thing, you know? So you can be creative and still have a real job, you know, because it's not easy starting in entertainment or in creative early on, you know? You've really got to build a foundation for yourself so you can pay the bills, you know? And that's what it boils down to.
Especially in LA.
Yeah, especially in LA, you know?
Toughest place to start.
It really is, because there's so many people trying to do the same thing, you know? And, you know, that's one thing that happens in LA, and people sometimes joke about it, but it's the reality, you know, of the fact that, you know, people move here from all over the world, and they come from small towns, and especially women, it's like she's the most beautiful woman or girl in the town or something. And then they come here and there's millions just like them, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a really It's a hit to the self-confidence, to your self-esteem. You know, it's like suddenly, oh, I'm just one of other people, you know. And so that's discouraging, I think. And also so many people are looking, you know, you come here to do modeling or acting or singing. And there's millions of people trying to do the same thing.
I think it boils down to how hard you want to work and how humble you are. I think LA really humbles people because mm-hmm. they realize when they come here, if they have been successful where they lived, okay, I have to kind of start from scratch. Like, right. LA isn't just going to bow down to me. And it does separate the people that want to really get where they want to be and the people that kind of want to be just handed it on a plate.
Right.
I think there's room for everybody.
Right.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, there's millions of celebrities coming out with different diet books and fitness books and health books, but it's like there's room for all of them.
Right.
So if there's room for them, there's room for newcomers.
Right. Yeah, that's easier said than done, you know. I mean, once you're famous, it's like you can write a book and expect a lot of people to buy it. And us regular people, we have to work harder at it, for sure. But you don't become famous by not working hard, you know. So ultimately, it's the same. So you had been to L.A. Visiting and stuff, and you liked it, huh? You liked the weather?
Oh, the weather's amazing. You can't beat it. It's better than Florida.
I know. Some people mm-hmm. move here just for the weather, you know. And then they bitch, oh, it's so hard to make it here. Well, you wanted to come here, you know. That's what LA is about. So great. So you decided to move here. And so you moved here by yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And you were like after college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, wasn't that scary for you? Did you know anybody here?
I knew basically two people that were friends of my sister.
Uh-huh.
And I had distant relatives in the valley. So.
Okay. Did you stay there or anything? Or did you just have to come and right away find your own place and stuff?
I stayed with them when I was visiting, but I right. came in and found my own place and really yeah. just kind of met people just by going out and
amazing.
And cool. just experiencing things.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. When you're young, you go out, you meet people, you know. Once you settle down and get married, forget about it, you know. So, you know, so enjoy yourselves, you know. I mean, you know, I'd do anything to be in my 20s right now. So you guys really should appreciate where you are, you know. Although, man, you can't, you know, I wouldn't give up all the experience I've gotten over the years, you know, and stuff like that. But if I knew everything at 20, what I know now, it would have been a different story altogether.
Different ball game.
Yeah, but I wasted most of my 20s partying and having fun and stuff. So I started later on in life.
Some don't see that as wasting your 20s.
No, absolutely. And besides, I could do that because I started. I got a job when I was 16. You know, my parents sent me here. I lived in Vegas with family, but I had to survive right away, you know. So I got a job at 16 and I was supporting myself. So it's not an easy road, you know, and you've got to, so I always took care of myself, but, I had to, that's true. It's not a waste of time to party in the 20s. That's true. So, great. So you moved here. What was the first thing that you did? I mean, you had to find a job, right? To make,
I'm one of the few people I moved here with a job opportunity.
Really?
So I was really lucky.
Wow. What was that?
I was working in public relations for an entertainment PR firm.
Uh-huh. And they had an office here or something too? Is that how it happened?
Exactly. Yeah. I just met them. So I literally met them when I was vacationing and uh-huh. I ended up moving here and working for them.
How cool. So they just saw you during a vacation and they wanted you to move down here and work for them.
Well, I did intern with them during part of my vacation.
Okay.
So I already made the commitment to build a relationship with them.
Right. And that works, huh? I mean, being an intern does work, right? In getting a job.
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think it only sometimes helps. It depends how good of an intern you are.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. And they want to see how well you work for free before they pay you, right? But were you like a paid intern? I mean, at the time, no, huh?
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Today more interns are expecting to be compensated and stuff, you know.
Well, there was a huge, yeah. I think this was in Florida, there was a huge article about if you're not being paid for your internship, there's a problem with it. I can't remember exactly, but it was a huge deal.
Right.
About not being paid for an internship.
Right, yeah. So they probably are going to change the rules and stuff, but you know, I'm sure some students don't mind it, you know, just to get the experience and stuff. So, yeah. So, okay. So you got into a PR firm and everything. And then did you get bored with that after a while? What happened there?
Yeah, no. So I worked in entertainment for a while. And then
I was that fun?
I loved it. I still love it. I still am involved in entertainment.
What did you do in entertainment while you were there?
Oh, boy. A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but that was PR, right? So you got to promote stars and things like that? Is that pretty much what it
is? Yeah, so mostly brands and a lot of, I guess, entertainment lifestyle brands.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. I met a lot of celebrities and met a lot of people in entertainment and that worked in publications and that worked at agencies and management companies.
Nice.
So you met some good contacts.
Yeah. No,
that's
it was a great experience.
That's the way to do it. So, but at a certain point, you decided to leave.
Yeah.
Right? No. And was that because you felt your creative drive coming out now and you need to do something, or what was it?
I had an opportunity to work with a partner and start our own company.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it was going to be international, Canada and the U.S. Uh-huh. And so... we opened that and it was really great.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I was still doing what I was doing, but just doing it more independently.
Right. So you got into, so what kind of a business did you decide to start? Was it similar to what you were doing?
Exactly. Yeah. It was PR.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Cool. You see, you know, that's the thing. When you hire someone, you don't want them to be too smart because one day they'll get up and open their own.
But you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, because so you have like a marketing background, a PR background, you have all the basic elements to build your own company successfully. You know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
So you started that with someone you knew?
Yes.
Okay. And how long has that been in existence now? Do you still do it?
No.
Oh, you don't do it anymore. Okay. You're like me. You start things, you don't finish, right?
No, I finish them. But you know, when inspiration sparks, you kind of have to go with what you're passionate about.
Well, that's true. So what did you discover you're passionate about?
Health and wellness.
Oh, okay. So has that been like all your life like that? I mean, have you always been a healthy person?
Oh, yes.
Really?
All my life I've been focused on like food and diet and exercise. And I just really started giving into it within the past 2 years.
Wow. Why do you think it's been like that? Because, I mean, it's not that common, right? I mean, for someone to be so concerned with their health. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I'm not concerned about my health, you know? How did you start at an early age? I mean, what brought your attention to it?
I love that you're in your 50s and you're not concerned. That sounds amazing.
Although I should be, right? Yeah, like there's an article here that middle-aged people should not eat meat and protein and all that, high-protein meat, because it can bring on diabetes and cancer and stuff. But you know what? I don't care about that. I'm not middle-aged, only in age. Okay, go on.
There's a lot of things that you could be afraid of, but you have to enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm going to sit here and start worrying about everything that could happen, I would go crazy.
Seriously, if you take to heart all those articles, you can't eat anything. You can't do anything. Because you're going to get cancer.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
I know.
So, but you knew, I guess, at early on in life that you would probably live a long time if you take care of your health and a better lifestyle, right?
I actually, I suffered for a long time with health issues.
So oh, wow. From a young age?
It wasn't from the perspective of increasing my longevity, but it was more to improve my current situation.
Yeah.
And so that really sparked my interest in learning all about toxins and things that we have in our food and in the products that we use and in the people we expose ourselves to.
Wow. And were you pretty young when that took place, when you had health problems?
Well, it got really bad when I was in college. And
really?
So it was hard to be in college and not be able to go out and party with your friends like you did.
Wow. So, yeah. So I can see where you come from now. Yeah. So I would totally get into health at that point too. So, so you started what with food, with fitness? How did you start?
So I started, I worked for Equinox Fitness for a little while, and I was working actually in their marketing department. And so I learned a lot about the body and physiology and exercise and fitness. And that's when I finally decided to become certified in integrative nutrition. So I went and I studied integrative nutrition with a long distance learning institution. And through them, I learned all about the things that I had been experiencing and already knew how they were affecting my body and how I intuitively responded to them with the food and the products that they chose and the supplements that I used.
Right.
So it all kind of pieced together.
Oh, okay. Well, you seem very healthy now, which is great, you know, so it must be working for you. Okay. So So the food is important, right? I mean, we'll get to the specifics in a minute, but so then you decided to actually do something with that, right? With all your like research and knowledge and everything. Tell us about that.
So I decided to branch out and just basically independently become certified as a holistic health coach. And I have done a lot of blogging and I've started a YouTube channel about it to help people because I primarily work with people in entertainment because those are the contacts that I have.
Okay.
I've created a YouTube channel and I talk all about the fun aspects and things that celebrities do with health and wellness that we can adapt in our own life.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's good. So, I mean, obviously relevant and stuff. I wouldn't be watching this, but I should, you know. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not really living a healthy lifestyle, you know. I mean, you know, I drink like soda and things like that, you know. But, and Charlotte realized I'm a smoker yesterday. But, so you're going to hate me now because you're a health nut. But, but no, for the most part, it's really important. You know, the body is like your temple, you know, it's like your vessel. And if you abuse it, then your mind's not going to last very long either. So I imagine you focus on the body and the mind when you approach this.
I like to say it's like a mindful approach to wellness in a holistic aspect. So like your mind, your body, your space, and your spirit.
Okay.
Being mindful of the foods that you eat, being mindful of the people you surround yourself with and the activities that you do and how it really affects how you feel on a regular basis.
Right.
But we have to understand, like, you know, you smoke, but it's okay.
Yeah.
If well, you enjoy it, it's okay.
It's okay, yeah. And not everybody dies from it. But no, I mean, it's high-risk lifestyle. Come on. You know, I mean, we all know that.
But, yeah, but you have to be loving to yourself.
Oh, I am. I am. I'm enjoying smoking a great deal, you know. But, but yeah, go on. So, so tell us what holistic is about. I mean, I hear that a lot and stuff, but I don't really know. So that's like a different approach to everything. Explain that to us.
The holistic is the mind body approach. So a lot of people like Deepak Chopra, Louise Hay, Marianne Williamson, they kind of spearheaded this whole mindfulness movement that I know David Lynch is now taking part in. And it's Russell Brand is really active in it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's talking all about being a mindful approach to your life. Mm. So the mind and body connection, understanding that the things that we eat affect how we feel, the things that we think affect how we feel, and how we have the control to change that.
Right. So you deal really with the mind and the body. It's not just one. And that's what holistic means, right? So it's not just like you go to the gym and everything, but you got to take into account the food and your lifestyle in general, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I imagine you exercise a lot, right? Do you go hiking and things like that?
I don't do crazy strenuous exercise.
Really?
I love yoga.
Uh-huh.
I run, I jog,
oh, wow.
I hike.
And that's not strenuous to run? Come on.
But I mean, like, I don't do weightlifting.
Right.
You know, I love Pilates. If someone wants to do weightlifting, I recommend Pilates.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you don't want to become muscular and stuff. Although women don't get as muscular from weights as they just do being toned, right?
I think people don't understand that once you start creating those muscles, you need to keep up with it.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people want to do the weightlifting and the strenuous exercise, but they don't keep up with the momentum. So you lose it.
That's true. And then it turns to mush or something.
That's my problem. After swimming for so long and doing weightlifting, now I don't do that anymore and I don't work out as much as I should. Like, I hate my arms. I don't know. Everything's kind of not muscle anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, the thing is, you can always go back to it and stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised about you, like not being a like a fitness freak. You know, but because you were in sports for so long, but maybe because of that, you know. You're not into it anymore.
Yeah, you know? Waking up at 5 a.m. Yeah. Workout gets a little old.
Yeah.
For 15 years, it was a little too much.
Yeah. So how many years have you been in L.A. so far?
I've been in L.A. for about 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're cool here and stuff. You established yourself. Let's give people, you know, before we go on, how they can find you, how they can contact you and stuff. We are talking to Melissa Friedman, who is everything pretty much, but you go by the Cleanse Chick, right?
Yeah. No, when I talk that. About health and wellness, the brand is called Cleanse Chick.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is because we're constantly trying to, like, change and clean and do all these things to our body and our space and cleanse with juices. So I figured since I'm doing it and people are doing it all the time, that it's something we constantly need to keep up with.
Right. And so cleansing, it's not necessarily drinking those cleanses that like make you hungry and stuff, but you're talking about getting rid of toxins in the body and things like that, right? So now if someone has like a lot of toxins and stuff, what steps should you take? You know, I mean, how is it by the food, the exercise, or is there something else that you have to do?
I think it all kind of starts with food. So if you think that you have issues with digestion or your health, that you have to start working on an elimination diet.
Okay.
And that means taking out anything that you think could really be harmful to you. The most common top 8 allergies, like soy or shellfish or dairy or gluten. And nuts.
So all those cause problems like allergies and things like that.
Well, those are the top 8 allergies are the most common sources of illness and toxins and things that we aren't aware of in which they stem from.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Totally. So so give out your Twitter so people can find out.
So it's more. Cleanse Chick.
Cleanse Chick. Okay, that's easy. And so you've been going by this name. Did you make a website or is it more like YouTube where people can find out more?
It's actually both because I do one-on-one coaching and I also do the YouTube channel. So you can find me on cleansechick.com or on youtube.com/cleansechick.
Oh, cool. So you were able to get the domain cleansechick.com. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, really pretty website. Everyone should check it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really,
okay,
really
I haven't
pretty.
Been to it yet, but...
really pretty.
Here, all I have to do is Google you and I'll probably find it, right?
What do you think about GMOs in food?
Okay, this is a huge debate, and I actually debate in my family all about GMOs all the time. I do not personally advocate GMOs. I try and eat organic as much as possible. But I do go out with friends, so I would say I'm probably in between 60% to 80% organic, which is very good.
Yeah.
And I think GMOs, when it comes down to it, it's all about what's best for you. So if it's easiest for you to get fresh whole foods that are GMO modified, then you should be purchasing those foods because you're still getting the nutrients that you need in a whole organic, sorry, not organic, but a whole natural food as opposed to just eating frozen foods or, you know, packaged foods that are organic.
Okay. Right? So how can someone find out if the food is generally genetically modified? I mean, because they don't tell us, right?
Honestly, the truth is we don't know pretty much anything.
Yeah.
we're just knowing what we're told. But the best thing to do is look at the number, the code on each of the fruits and vegetables that you're purchasing. Anything that has a 9 is certified organic. Anything that doesn't is genetically modified.
Really?
Yeah. So there's different numbers like 4 and 6. And
so the lower it is, the more GMOs there are?
It's different. Sometimes they could be grown in like hydroponic settings or in-house greenhouse settings, or they could be grown outside genetically modified. Mm. But if you're looking for certified organic produce, it's going to start with the number 9.
Wow.
Okay. That's
good to know.
Yeah. That's good to know. You know, is it important to eat organic? Do you eat organic?
Yeah, so I'm 60 to 80% organic. I try my best. Oh, that's
what you said, right. Yeah. And it's easy to find, right? And the food is not that much more expensive, is it?
It's a little bit more expensive. If you're purchasing for a family of like 6 to 8, it could be costly.
That's true. I would never have a family that big. Are you kidding me? Who the hell has family 6 to 8 people? My God. Yeah, but you're right. If I had a family that big, I would not be able to afford organic food. So some places to go, like Trader Joe's and stuff like that, those are good organic places.
Yeah, no, I love Trader Joe's for organic produce. Uh-huh. Whole Foods is great for organic produce. You can even find organic produce at the 99-cent store.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
wow.
Wow. So what do you recommend to people? You do like one-on-one. What do you do with the people? Do you take on? So it must be like an ongoing thing, right? It's not just they come to you once and that's it.
Exactly. I try not to do sessions that are one-off because people don't see the benefit. But right. I do. I offer one-month packages where I sit down with a person and we make a plan to work on the things that they really want to improve in their life and the things that they want to change. It could be their diet, their lifestyle, their career, their relationships, anything that's really holding them back from the fulfillment that they want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And we do that, and I sit down with them for a month. So I'll meet them and contact with them every week, and we will go back and forth just to make sure that they're on progress with their schedule.
Yeah.
I need that.
So it's like a personal coach almost, right? I mean, excuse me, when you have to answer to someone, you try to stay on track, I guess. And so I imagine, you know, after a month, you can actually change your eating habits and exercise habits and stuff.
Oh, yeah. There are people that come to me with digestive issues and issues with toxicity in their body. And so I help them really clean out their diet and their body in order to heal.
How can you know if you have toxicity in your body?
I suffered from the worst toxicity. So
wow.
I was hospitalized because really? I had so many toxins in my body. And wow. I wasn't really, I had toxic buildup in my body that it was hitting my bloodstream. So I can pretty much sit down with someone and see if there's like inflammation in their body or if they're having digestive issues or if they're having trouble concentrating, and those are due to toxic imbalance.
Wow.
Where do the toxic, where do they come from?
Yeah, good question. Like, I was going to ask that. How do you get to have so many toxins at a young age?
Most of the food that we eat builds up in our large intestine, and so it can stay on our intestinal wall for up to 10, 12, sometimes even 15 years.
Wow.
So if you're not properly, you know, having proper bowel movements or urinating regularly and eating cleaner or, you know, changing your diet frequently, right. You can have toxic buildup in your body and it can lead from your large intestine to the rest of your body.
Right.
Yeah. It's scary.
So do you promote like high colonics and things like that too? To cleanse the body?
I prefer elimination diets and I prefer juice cleanses.
Okay. When so it comes it's more natural,
to,
right?
Yeah, when it comes to drastic measures, then right. That's necessary.
Yeah. So if you have stuff stuck in your intestines, this would help, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's pretty popular. I mean, a lot of people do this. You know, we had someone, actually a couple people on the show who actually do that. And it's... yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, it sounds weird and stuff, but I guess they put you in a room and on a bed and you control it and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not like they stick it up you and stuff.
Do you believe in juice cleanses?
Yes, I do.
Purely juice? Like you just drink juice?
What do you mean by that?
Like for, say, 7 days, you're just juicing?
Yes.
Is that good for you?
If you have symptoms of toxicity or inflammation, it's something that you should do. If it's something you're doing to lose weight, I don't advocate it. Mm-hmm. I think there's ways to change your diet and your eating schedule and your eating habits in order to lose weight.
Right.
But for anyone that wants to try a juice cleanse, you could do it for a day, you could do it for 3 days or a week, and I think it'll already improve your health.
Whoa. Do you have to buy a juicer? You know, they have the juice things now that, like, make the juice for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have to buy one of those to be able to do it?
I really think that you can do it in a blender. I think you can do it in like a Magic Bullet or a Nutribullet or an Oyster, any kind of blender that you have. I don't think that you need a juicer. It's easier for a lot of people in LA to purchase the pre-made juice.
Right.
I don't know. It's whatever you want.
Yeah, we don't like to work hard here. Well, so how long do you estimate? I mean, so within a month, can a person really change their lifestyle and feel a lot better?
If they're sick, yes. So easily.
Really?
For someone that's experiencing a lot of stress, yes, very easily. It takes really about 20 days to 30 days to form a habit.
Uh-huh.
So if you do it regularly and you focus on it, then you can change anything, I think, in a month.
Yeah. Now, so you also address the fitness and exercise part of things too, right?
Yes.
Do you exercise a lot?
I try to every day, but it doesn't happen.
No, I know.
It's probably like every other day.
Yeah. Do you actually enjoy going to the gym or working out?
Yes, I have a better day if I do it.
Really? I know. It's like once you build that habit, I remember when I used to go work out, on a day that I didn't, I would feel blah, you know? Mm-hmm. So I totally get it. I totally get it. And so you put people on a workout regimen too?
I can, yes. Uh-huh. I have a lot of friends that are trainers and people that I work with, and I help schedule more like a fitness regime.
Right.
But most people do this to relieve stress. So I say stay away from a lot of the weightlifting and things to relieve stress because they may bring on stress and tension and inflammation in the body.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I always automatically think, okay, work out hard and it's going to happen, you know. But you really have to integrate it with everything else that you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, you know, that sounds pretty cool. So you take on people. They can find you on the website. The website is cleansechick.com, and it is a pretty site. And you can, there's a blog and stuff. What do you write about? What are some of the things you write about on the blog?
I try and do it with like a fun and exciting twist because it's tied into my YouTube page. So sometimes I talk about things in the media and I talk about celebrities and what they're doing. And other times I just talk about my health regime and the things that you can easily adapt into your lifestyle. Yeah. I know you were actually mentioning the sex drive.
Right.
And it's funny because I wanted to do a video a while back about a lot of young Japanese professionals that are starting to lose their sex drive in their 20s.
Wow.
And it's becoming more and more common.
Japanese? Why is that?
I think that they're so exposed to technology and they're so invested in their careers that they don't focus on the social aspect of their lives.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
sex is not exactly necessarily a social part of your life, you know? It's something you need like food. I mean, what is this, you know? I don't care how hard I work or focus on my career, man.
And that's the difference between a guy and a girl.
Yeah, there you go. But these are guys, too, she's talking about, true, you know? True. But it's a different culture, you know? So I don't know. But it sounds interesting. So tell people, so they can get a hold of you through the website and everything. Also Twitter. Are you on Facebook too?
Yes.
Okay. So Melissa Friedman, find her on Facebook. And wealth of information, you know? I mean, it sounds amazing. Do you deal with like herbal stuff too? I mean, is that part of holistic as well?
Yes, supplements, yeah. Like vitamin supplements, herbs. A lot of Chinese herbs are becoming very popular here in LA. So.
Notions and potions and stuff.
Different kinds of mushrooms.
Oh, wow.
Reishi, shiitake, like all of that.
Wow. But it sounds good. I mean, eating healthy can be good, right? I mean, it's not necessarily like bland food.
No. And I think once you start eating cleaner, you start to really taste your food and you start to really enjoy your food instead of just making it a habit of like eat and go.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool. Definitely. And what happens now when you in a relationship? Do you drive your partner crazy with all this? I mean, do you preach to them about you shouldn't be eating this, you should be eating that?
No, never.
Really?
Never. I am actually completely opposite of like my entire family. Mm-hmm. They have a different blood type and they have completely different taste buds. So, you know, we sit down at a meal and they'll be eating like chicken and fish or whatever, and I won't touch it. So yeah. Well, I never try to like force my habits onto anybody. It's
that's true.
People just have to respect me, and I respect them for absolutely. Their choices.
That's good. Well, good luck finding a relationship like that. Not everybody's that reasonable, you know. Yeah. Okay, Melissa Friedman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Everybody, check it out. If you want to improve your life, go to cleansechick.com or check out her Twitter or YouTube, and you can find out a lot more about it. I'm definitely going to take it to heart and check out your blog and stuff and see what you're doing. And maybe I'll be a client, you know. You never know. You never know. Even a smoker. I got to put a stop to that, man.
I can help you.
Okay, I know you can. That's what scares me. All right. Melissa Friedman, thank you so much for joining us. Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.